We hear these words. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their city to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage, and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room. Friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, I am the innkeeper at Bethlehem, and I've come to appeal to you as thoughtful and forgiving people to reconsider my case. Yes, you have been my judge and jury. My crime? Failure to recognize and properly welcome the Lord of the earth. Well, if you must find me guilty, then you may have to condemn yourselves as well. That was such a long time ago. But in some ways, it seems as if it was only just last week. People still attack me and blame me because they haven't forgotten how I had no room for him. Well, there was no room. Bethlehem was so crowded at that time. And of course, the Roman census takers commandeered the best rooms. Now, as to whether we could have made room, if we were know who was to be born that night, well, maybe. But how are we to know? I'll tell you something else. Neither my wife nor I can even remember very much about that couple. I mean, let's face it, pregnant women were certainly not a rarity in those days. I had so many guests to wait on that I could scarcely keep everything straight. And my wife was so busy preparing food for all the guests that, well, she had no time for noticing, especially those who came to the door. I do remember what a week that was. Oh, what a week that was. More travelers and more business than our little town had ever known. How clever of that Roman emperor to require that each person return to their native city for taxing. I'll tell you, it was a real boon for innkeepers. The years before had not been good for us. The Roman occupation had hurt our business. You know, an old inn like mine doesn't normally attract quality travelers, and our own kind were much too poor for traveling. And so the good wife and I had just about decided that the great days of our inn were all over, and quite honestly, we were planning to sell and get out. But that week changed everything. What crowds, what feasting and drinking, and yes, what profit. Best of all, the clientele. Every room was filled with people of distinction and quality. The Roman authorities were my guests. Even the most important people in Bethlehem ate at my board and slept in my inn. What an honor! What a week! Guests of distinction and quality. That's what brings the business. And there were compliments for my wife's cooking and for my wine also. Oh, we had such high hopes that all the attention our inn was getting would lead to even more business from those who appreciate the better things of the good life. I do remember that There was one unfortunate incident later that night as I was cleaning the tables. His Excellency, the tax collector, complained of the strange light that shone from the stable. He said it disturbed his sleep. So I hung a blanket over the window, and he seemed satisfied. And then some shepherds came in from the stable yard, and they were all excited about having seen angels in the sky and singing and telling them about a special baby born that night. And the shepherds had come to our stables and found a man and his wife from Nazareth with their new baby boy. They said his name was Jesus. That means God's Savior, doesn't it? What a strange name for such a little child. A camel trader from Caesarea overheard the shepherd's story and sneered in a loud voice, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And the other men who were drinking with him laughed. And I must admit that I laughed for a little time also. I mean, after years and years of waiting for a miracle and not finding one, it's hard not to grow in despair and grow cynical. Sometimes I think that cynical is just another word for blind. So I ask you, how are we to know? You sit there smugly, and yet underneath, we are the same, you and I. Has your child ever lingered to look at the starry sky on a Christmas Eve, straining to catch a glimpse of the Star of Bethlehem? But you grabbed his arm saying, "Come on, we've got to go." How many times have you gazed at a baby's hand curling around her mother's finger, or gazed into the face of an old man and felt the touch of the infinite? But you choke back that foolish, sentimental thought to turn again to holiday preparations or the weekly shopping list. You see, I'm afraid that if you must condemn me for my neglect, then we must all, in the last analysis, stand guilty. I mean, can you honestly say that if the Lord of the earth returned again today, you know, in an everyday sort of way, you would know and minister to him? Well, I dare say that he has come to us all many times and been brushed aside. Lord, help our unbelief. Amen.